Once upon a time, Anna, we used to go to cafes and have coffees. And once, do you remember, we even went to a pub?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when you used to see people and sit in another place and eat.
I know. Even just going to the garden and sitting with people, having a barbecue in your garden. Well, guess what, folks? At some point in the next few months, maybe even next week, the world may begin to reopen its doors for us. Oh, which will be a very exciting thing. But the thing is, we've had a couple of emails saying a lot of you are panicking or you're thinking, eek, how do I make sure I don't sabotage myself when all is open again? Do you know what I mean, Anna?
I know exactly what you mean. I have been dealing with this with my members. It's like a quagmire of craziness out there, isn't there? Anticipation, fear and uncertainty with a little bit of excitement.
She's pulling out the Q word, people. That means she's very serious. But fear not. We have sat down with our pens, our paper, our journals and our thinking caps, and we have thought up a few strategies to help you prepare for your re-entry to the real world. If that's a thing, I'm not really sure.
It is now.
It is now, yeah. Mm. Play the ukuleles. Let's get cracking. So Anna, it's been a few days of strategizing, of asking the question, what if? It's been, yeah, like just kind of reconnecting with the why. I mean, it's like, it's such a personal thing, isn't it, about how people feel. Like, I mean, and this is so different whether you're in England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, the rest of the world. That's the irony about as lockdown kind of starts to ease, and it's obviously in different stages, but so many people feel so, it's almost like quite polarized. Like some people are really enjoying the thought of it and others are like, I'm not really sure what to think. Like, where do you stand?
I'm quite scared.
Really?
I'm one of the very few that's actually really enjoyed lockdown. I've enjoyed getting to spend time with my little girl and my husband in a way that I've never got to spend time with them. I've really enjoyed the pace slowing down. I think for me, I've worked solidly through having a child, being very sick. So actually taking my foot off the gas physically has been really nice. I've missed immensely my family and my friends, but I'm a little bit scared about going back to a crazy pace. I'm a bit scared, I think, of seeing lots of people as well. It doesn't take long to create a new habit, and being away from massive groups of people, and I used to work in big groups of people, I'm finding a little bit scary at the thought of, you know, going into a busy restaurant, or, you know, sort of going into a really busy shopping centre again. You know, I'm thinking about Christmas in a big shopping centre and how you'd be like so close to someone. Like, instinctively now that seems wrong, but then at the same time I'm anticipating all those reunions of all the people you love and seeing them. And, oh, I can't wait to cuddle my mom. And I can't wait just to have my friends in the garden and, you know, all of those things. So I'm trying to dull down the anticipation of fear and say, come on, this is going to be great. But, yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag, isn't it? And from a work point of view, I've also got that kind of, I've got to make sure my members are safe. I've got to make sure the situation's safe. So it's, I don't know if you feel the same, but the people I've talked to, this last year has instilled so much fear that that's going to take a long time for us to get over, isn't it?
To be honest, sometimes you watch TV and whether it's film like before the global crisis or after, you're like, what are they doing? They're touching each other. They're sat too close. What are all these people?
Yeah, why has he not got a mask on? Like, you know, it's mad, isn't it? And I think it's knowing that the knock-on effect of that can actually make us stay away from things or make us kind of, you know, not do the things we love. So we've got to be really careful that we, you know, we try and get back to a sense of normality in our minds first.
There's so many different things, isn't it? Because as I look through the list of things that we're going to be able to do that we haven't. So it's not just about the coffee shops, the restaurants, the pubs. It's also about like the gyms, the hair salons. I mean, even just the thought of having a haircut and maybe even a massage. That was one of the ways that I used to reward myself instead of having food. So I guess when you actually look at the full things, it's not just fear, is it? It's also those smaller things that I guess we've just kind of forgotten about, like actually going to the gym. I am looking forward to that because that's one of the ways that I know that I can put my energy into feeling good. But
something that's not food related.
The non-food related, and it's looking at that too, because I think sometimes with doing a weight loss journey, you just focus on the food. But actually, when you meet some of your friends, I wonder what other things are open that we could do with them instead. Do you know what I mean?
And do you know what? The thing I had to do in my weight loss journey was have distraction that was non-food related and, you know, reward that was non-food related. So going and having your nails done, going and having your hair done, going for a nice walk with your friend. And I think we've missed a lot of that. So that's why during lockdown, food has been our kind of only support mechanism, isn't it? Because we haven't had the natural distractions that we would have had. We haven't had the reward of let's buy a new outfit or let's go out and celebrate. So I'm excited to wear some clothes that are actually not stretchy. Like I've just realised, you know, when we did that podcast, like over 90% of my wardrobe, I just haven't worn. I'm really excited for that because that will feel like a reward, won't it? And that will feel like going out will be a bit more fun, just to wear something that's not a loungewear outfit or got an elasticated waist.
Yeah. I mean, so we're going to talk through, aren't we, some of our... We've both been thinking about this in advance. I mean, for you, it's your job anyway. So, you know, it's what you do.
Yeah.
But
it's what I spend my life helping people for.
Yeah, I also think as a slimmer, and actually we had a message from Christine who just simply asked us, what are the best ways to protect my weight loss when lockdown restrictions lift and I'm allowed to see my family and friends again? And, you know, I'm looking at some of the things I'm going to do in coming weeks. I really want to go and see my mom, my brother, my niece, like my family, right? And be in the garden with them and have little picnics in the park. And I just can't wait for that. I'm not bothered necessarily about, I don't know, going to gigs and festivals and big things like that. I'm not bothered about going shopping in a city centre, you know, to buy a whole new wardrobe. I just want the small things. I've realised that people matter. I definitely have a bit of a fear about being inside with lots of people. So I think one of the things for me, actually, the gym and going to Slimming World Group are two of the things that I actually feel more anxious about as opposed to going outside.
I think we've been instilled in us through lockdown. Outside is a much safer experience. You know, it's a really good point you make about the groups. And this is to anybody that's kind of worrying about that. They are going to be so safe, like we did when we reopened after lockdown number two. Like, you know, we're going to put all those social distancing parameters in. And I think it's going to take us time to get used to, isn't it? Like it took us time to get used to being virtual, getting back into groups. Yeah. A weird thing, but we will get there undoubtedly. But you know how you just said family and friends matter? I think that's really key. I think that's what most of us have missed more than anything, apart from a nice sunny holiday. I would love that right now, but that's not on the cards, is it?
Well, here's hoping that summer is going to be good. I mean, that's a big difference for me. I know I can cope being outside. I don't mind so much about getting my hair wet as you. I'll happily have a nature wee if it means I don't have to go to the toilet.
Oh, I'm up for a nature wee.
That's fine. Anyway,
did you see I went out in the rain? Did you actually see? Daisy was like, "Mummy, can we go and catch raindrops in my mouth?" And when your little baby says that, you're like, "Yeah, of course, let's go and catch raindrops in our mouth."
If there's one thing that all of us have become better with in the UK is being outside. Last summer taught us that we have to cope better with being outside, regardless of the weather. I remember I drove to see my mom for like the first time in months, and I couldn't be in her house, so I had to go for a wee in the garden. I mean, fortunately. And then it was raining. So I stood basically outside in her garden with an umbrella. I was like, well, this isn't the romantic reunion that I was thinking. But hey, that's how we do it.
Toilet paper. It's fine. You had the wrong.
Wow. TMI. Let's get into talking about strategies. So there are so many different journals and tools and things that like Slimming World consultants have up their sleeves. I mean, I'm guessing that you guys are like having some training on this, you're thinking about this in advance. Like, how do you as a consultant prepare, like, to kind of help your members get ready for this?
To me, it's very much like prepping members for Christmas. It's the way that I've just kind of looked at it.
But that's good for us to think about too, as members. Yeah, how would we approach Christmas? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what we're really going to be working with our members on is about, if you want to lose weight, you know what, it doesn't matter if you're going out and unlocking the world. If that's still your aim, then let us help you to have the free food, to have your sins, to have your healthy extras and stay in control. So it's taking you back really to what you want to achieve. And I think when you're motivated and you're inspired and you want to lose weight, you won't let things get in your way. It's when we're having a wobble, we've lost our motivation, that these little kind of things that can trip us up become massive, don't they? So, you know, going to the pub for the first time, you want to stay in control. You'll order the gin and slimline tonic or the Diet Coke. But if you're kind of got a little bit of a wobble, you'll order the bottle of wine with one glass. So it's about really trying to firm up people's want, but also about knowledge. So actually, how, when I go out, do I make better choices? What's that got to look like? And how have I got to work this into my week? So really giving them a strong strategy is what I'm kind of doing with my members.
See, one of the things I wrote down, I had my pen and paper and thought, right, I'm just going to think of three things. What can I do to kind of prepare? One of the ones was having like a visual reminder. So I'd started doing this, I was, you know, like the wallpaper on my smartphone. It was just writing on a post-it note, what do I want this week? And it was like, you know, to lose 3 pounds. What does that mean doing more of? What does that mean doing less of? And I took a picture of it and it was on my wallpaper. So every time I unlocked it, it was like kind of a visual reminder. Yeah. And I also had a photo of me in the past. So it reminded me what I didn't want to do or go back to, and I think they're quite powerful, aren't they? Because you're kind of subconsciously taking that in all the time, because it's so easy in group when the consultant says, so what do you want next week and how are you going to get there, and then it's just meaningful words, but they, once you leave, you don't ever look at your book, you don't ever think about it, you don't go and plan, you don't strategize. And like I've written here, hope is not a strategy.
That's a very valid point there. If we haven't made in group the commitment to put the things in place to make the goal happen, then it's pointless setting out the goal in the first place. And I think it's very, very key that when you are saying, I want 3 pounds in a week, having the step by steps to get there and saying, right, I've looked at what could stop me and I've got a plan for that too. And I'm making this commitment. I'm going to do it. Because it's that last bit, the commitment. If we don't make the commitment to ourselves, it's never going to come to fruition.
Mm-hmm. The second thing I also put was, and I recently did the SAS log, which is
interesting.
Another tool which I've been getting so far with food diaries, but I wanted to look at the SAS log. And it kind of makes you think about, are you estimating, are you measuring your sins? Are you doing it planned or unplanned? And I found that really helpful, actually, so I can notice like what the hidden things were going on.
But they're so subconscious. That's the key. Yeah.
Totally. And so the thing I wrote here was look up sins in advance. And that means before lockdown has actually even lifted, like know your sins first, not after. And then you can really decide if this blowout is worth it.
It's also worth, you know, recognising. Do you remember we did an episode? I remember it so clearly. It was about birthdays. We were in a park. Actually, do you know what? To go and have a brilliant time seeing your friends and family for the first time, you see them second time, it doesn't matter what's in that picnic, you're going to be so excited about seeing them. And actually remembering that to gain a pound of weight is an extra 3,500 calories. Two bottles of wine is 1,500 calories. So we're really remembering, actually, are you going to remember that sausage roll and that bottle of wine that you had on the picnic with your mum? No, you're going to remember giving your mum a cuddle. You're going to remember the conversation you had running after your niece. So actually remembering that the extra sins are not going to bring you happiness, the people are. And I think we've lost that connection, haven't we, in lockdown? It's like our instant gratification has come from the food. And if we're not careful, that will transcend into when we're out of lockdown.
Yeah, like food has been our only source of like joy, really, hasn't it? It's the only thing we can really, like reward ourselves. Whereas now, actually, there's going to be a bigger, wider array. So actually, you know, just saying that, like about the company, one of the things I realized when I ditched alcohol was a lot of the times I realized when the place was right where I was going, when the activity was right, and when the people were right, I didn't need the alcohol, or no. I didn't need the cake and the ice cream and the big pizza. Actually, getting those things right. And sometimes I found that I was almost comfort drinking or comfort eating to get through because I was with the wrong people in the wrong place and not really wanting to be there. So that, I think, is kind of,
good spot, that.
And the other thing I put here, which I'm sure is on your list, about the triggers, like knowing your weakness and asking yourself the question. I always say this to myself, but what if I don't? Like, if I don't go and have, I don't know, a coffee shop coffee with loads of, like, a latte, what if I just go and have a black coffee that day so then I can have, I don't know, a bag of popcorn in the evening, a big bag of popcorn? Like, actually just saying, but what if I don't? Each decision I make, you know?
Yeah. And it's the stopping and thinking, because what a lot of us do with triggers is we're triggered so quickly before we know we've done it. So prepping before you get to the trigger. The coffee shop is your trigger. If the pub is your trigger, if, you know, cake with your best friend, you know, leads to chocolate and wine and then, you know, being drunk. Remembering those things that you can kind of forearm yourself, I think, is really key, because what we sometimes forget as slimmers, if you were training for a marathon, you would train, you would build up your running. If you were doing a degree at university, you would study. Losing weight, we have to put in as much work into our mind. And that is the bit that a lot of us forget. Actually, I've got to train myself that if I go in the coffee shop, I now say black coffee, please, or an Americano with skimmed milk. And it's prepping yourself so that when you get to that encounter, the brain isn't shocked by it. And before you know it, you've said a large caramel latte with a millionaire shortbread on the side. You know, we've all been there, haven't we? So it is prepping yourself before. I think that's a very, very key strategy.
That's a great analogy about a marathon, though. Yeah, we would never turn up to the finish line and think that we would just do it in one straight go. That would be ludicrous. So why do we turn up and think, yeah, it's going to be a straight line, I'm going to just lose every single week, and boom, the weight is going to be gone within like less than 4 hours, which would be an amazing marathon, wouldn't it? That is really brilliant. So then it just kind of makes you think, of course.
Yeah, and you go, I think what a lot of, if you're anything like me, I thought walking in the doors was going to fix it, you know, and actually if I followed the plan, it would happen. But actually what I never took into account is the fact that just to follow the plan was so hard. It's such a brilliant plan. It's so generous. But the state of mind I was in, I had to fix before it would allow me to follow it. So, yeah, I think it's knowing your brain, isn't it?
So the thing about actually following the plan, I think one of the things that you've taught me is to kind of listen to like the ebbs and flows of your life. Like sometimes I know that work is all encompassing for me and it's enough just to get up and have breakfast, let alone have a breakfast on plan. And yeah, you know, in better times, I'll make better decisions, but sometimes I have to scale it back and think, I'm really quite overwhelmed, I'm really quite anxious, so let's just make sure my evening meal is on plan and then do what I can with the other stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've always been the consultant that's never about pressure, because it just doesn't work for me. And I think it's sometimes knowing that actually, if you just put in a few key moves, you can protect yourself. So is it just about, you know, if breakfast can't be as grand and amazing, knowing that you've got your porridge oats in a sachet that are healthy extra and a banana and you've won? You know what I mean? Is it about going, actually, I've got a jacket potato and a tin of beans here? And you can't always be 100% of the time, can you? No. And as slimmers, we feel we've got to do that or we failed. And then someone was saying in my group the other day, it's about the middle ground and what you do consistently as well, because actually one salad never made you the slim person you wanted to be, and one sausage roll never made you 5 stone overweight. It's the things you did constantly.
See, this idea about this kind of like range, this is something that I've been thinking a lot about, you know.
I can see it in your eyes.
Approaching target. I think I had a bit of a light bulb moment myself where I realised that I've been thinking about like my weight as one number that was very static and it had to stay there. And I think it was someone called Hayley, who's a consultant, and she's pregnant. Maybe she's even had the baby. I hope that you're okay, Hayley, if you're listening. But Hayley said this thing about, she gave us a really great email, which we read out a few months ago. And she was basically saying she realized that she needs more to be much more forgiving of herself as her body changes throughout her life. And I started to think about, well, if I looked at my weight as a range, which you do when you get to target the 6 pound range, where is my range, rather than just picking out a number and really honing in it? Like if I go out to the real world and I am not this exact number, then that's it, I've failed. Like that's actually quite detrimental to my mental health. Like that's unrealistic expectation. Like for Christmas, you would be like, well, if I put on this, that's okay, but if I put on this, that's not okay. So yeah, what do I need to do? Like where's my range here?
But it's also knowing that the body is never going to sit in one spot. It's scientifically.
Why not, Anna? Well, this is what I pay you for.
Can you imagine how rich I'd be if I could fix you? You know, a really key thing to remember when you walk in and you set that target, and like you know, you wanted over 5 stone to go. It's a number that you've plucked out of thin air, or it's a number that's a BMI guided. And actually, you don't think about the person you're going to become through that journey when you try to get to that number. And just if you don't get that number, you don't get 11 stone, you don't get 10 stone, you don't get 15 stone. It doesn't mean you failed. It's just meant you've reevaluated. It's like selling a house. You put the house on the market, 250 grand. You get an asking price of £247,000. Do you not sell the house? Do you wait till you get 250 grand, at which point you've waited 5 years? Like, where do you... It's the measurement of success. And actually, you're the best part of 5.5 stone down. The success is in that, not at the final number.
Yeah. To be continued.
I know. Guys, you're going to need to help me with this one. If you're listening, we need to bombard her with positivity. Claire is a person of minute detail. The nature of your job means minute detail. And I think what happens then is that transcends. And you're a perfectionist too. And you're a perfectionist about yourself. And actually what you don't see is the greater achievement. And it doesn't matter if you're 3 pounds up or 3 pounds down. You have lost a 9-year-old.
Yeah. It's too overwhelming to like kind of take in, I think, like when you think about it that way. And I think sometimes I've been a bit guilty of riding on how much I've lost rather than really focusing on, but what do you need to do to get this job done?
Yeah, I think we've all done that. But we need to do that sometimes as well, to go, hold on, look at the person I have transformed from. I was listening back to some old episodes when we first started. And when you listen to the person you were at your kitchen table in your flat, who you are now, I think you need to go back and listen, because the growth and that change you've been on. Like, you see, I think what I've got that maybe is a little bit of wisdom with it is I lost all my weight so long ago. I've lived in that weight loss and of losing that weight and of keeping it off for so long that I've learned things about my head along the way. And I think your head hasn't quite caught up with your body yet.
See, what I've been learning about recently, do you remember there was a lady who told us about Brené Brown, and she gave us the quote, the Roosevelt quote about being Imad in the arena? I went back and I've continued to listen to some audiobooks actually by her. And in several of her books, she talks about perfectionism, and she kind of talks about where the line is on perfectionism versus healthy striving for excellence.
Yes.
You know? And she talks about the link between what can underlie with perfectionists is shame.
Yeah.
And it can actually set you up to feel shame, because that leads to more shame, because then you don't think you're good enough. And the fact that it's quite addictive You know, we work hard to make things absolutely right, but it's also unattainable. It's more about perception, and there's no way that we can control other people's perception. You know, if I'm perfect, then I can minimize any hurt or blame or shame that I might feel. And actually, I'd never really thought about perfectionism as like, it can be quite self-destructive. But the addiction side, I thought, well, that's really, really interesting. I've read up a lot about the addictive habits that we have, whether that be, for me, it's been like looking at my food habits and why do I do what I do? But I'd never really thought about perfectionism. Like, you know, really, it's about like trying to earn approval. Like, I am what I accomplish. I please, I perform, I perfect, I want to prove myself. And actually, she describes it as this 20-ton shield that we carry around thinking it protects us, but actually it's stopping us being seen. It's a defensive move. So then she talks about progress, not perfectionism, which I think is quite topical, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people could have, in this situation, an expectation of, nope, I'm going to sit there, white knuckle my way through my first family meals, through my first meetings out with the girls, and I'm going to resist and I'm going to rely on willpower and I'm going to be absolutely amazing and I'm going to stay the same or I'm going to lose 25 pounds as I do it. And actually, like, is that an element of, like, is that healthy striving for excellence or is that perfectionism?
Yeah, or was it a hell of a lot of fear thinking, oh, I've got to do this and I've got to juggle all those balls? Like, I'm a firm believer in, if you want to do something and you want to do it well, you've just got to plan it. And it's the same with weight loss. If you want to be lighter and keep your weight off, you've just got to plan. Like when you have a baby and you pack their nappy bag and their bottle and you've got a change of clothes, it's being that thoughtful about how you're going to eat and how you're going to drink if you want to lose weight. It's not leaving anything to chance. It's not saying, oh, do you know what, I'll just do this. And it's that realization that actually, if I want to do this, I've got to put some planning and effort in, that is enlightening for so many people, because so many of us just think it's going to happen and we don't do anything about it. And actually, it is cutting it back to that thing. If you want to lose weight, you can't go and have the curry, the naan bread, the beer, the Papa John's and all the sides. You can have the chicken shishlik or the vegetable curry or lentil dal with boiled rice and a Diet Coke. You know, it's not meaning that your night's going to be any less. It just means that you can keep on track with the weight loss you want. So I think practical tips are really, really important when you feel your mind is losing its way, as many of our minds have lost its way over lockdown. And know that this is almost like, how good, things are reopening. So this can be our rebirth. You know, whereas before you might go out on a Saturday night and drink 14 vodkas and then get chips and garlic mayo on the way home, you haven't been out for so long, you can recreate habits. You're now a gin and tonic girl and a chicken kebab with boiled rice on the way home.
I think there will be a lot of people saying, but I've been so good throughout lockdown. I deserve this. Like, I've done so well that I deserve this now to go and treat myself. But I suppose in response to that, I'd kind of throw the question, what's your why? And will it make a difference? What will you remember in 5 years? Will you remember the food that you have or the memories that you get?
And this isn't to say, if you want to go and have, you know, a creme brulee, that you couldn't go and have that and factor that in.
Interesting choice there. Very specific.
I love creme brulee. It was on my mind. I had a dream about creme brulee. Oh, the shortbread biscuit dipped in the top. But it's saying about, actually, what does this creme brulee signify? Does it signify that I can do what I want? Does it signify that I can relax? Does it signify that I felt so, you know, restricted? I'm having a blowout. Where is this psychologically? Because it's knowing that, it's actually, if you're going out to eat with your friends and it's the first time you've seen your friends, that conversation is going to be amazing. You could just be eating a bag of boiled rice. You know what I mean? So it's actually really thinking about what the food means in the context of when you're going out is the way I think about it. Should I tell you what my three tips were?
Go on then.
Okay, so I have put plan your meals around it. I'm a really big believer in, you know, if you're going out and you want to have, I don't know, something that's maybe higher up the sins scale, that really work in your day. So I remember a lot of my members used to say before lockdown even happened, you know, I just ditch it for the day. Actually, making sure that breakfast is amazing, making sure that lunch is amazing, planning for the hangover, making sure you've got the snacks in, making sure you've got those easy things in, looking at the speed-free food, looking at the protein, so that, you know, you're really working food optimizing as well. Because I think that's where we can kind of go a little bit awry. You know, we have the hangover, you get the app out, and before you know it, you've got 450 sins at your front door. Actually, could you prep a food optimized cooked breakfast that all you need to do is whiz it in the microwave and it's sorted? So that's always helped me. When I used to drink a lot, that was what I would really try and do. Now I have a boring life and don't drink any alcohol or do anything exciting other than go to the park. It's not so much of an issue, but you know. Then looking at swaps was something I've really done a lot of work on. So, you know, if you're going out and you decide you want to have a Chinese, or you decide you're going to have an Indian banquet in the garden with the family, knowing actually that could potentially your creamy curry with the naan bread and everything cost you 5 days worth of sins, but just a few swaps could take it down to being 9.5 sins. So really looking out for how you can food optimize it wherever you can. That's really key, because actually the sense of enjoyment and pride in yourself when you've gone, I've had a takeaway, but I've actually done this, is a really immense feeling. Do you know what I mean? And knowing how to get those resources. So using your book, using your app, using your group, really, really key. And my final one was making a commitment to yourself. This is really key. Actually, do you know what? I am seeing my family this week for a picnic, but I want to lose 2 pounds. So the thing I'm committing to is that I'm going to plan what I'm going to eat, and I'm going to stick to it. And the way I'm going to stick to it is by shopping on this day, cooking on this day, making sure I'm not hungry, et cetera, et cetera. Because I think it's that leaving it to chance that really undoes all our hard work.
Well, yeah, and asking your family and friends for help, you know, that's the other thing. Like Christine said, when I go out and meet my family and friends, tell them this is important to me. Things have slightly changed. I'm doing this journey at the moment. I need your support. This is how. And being specific, like, don't say I need your support, but tell them how, envisage how. I'm going to bring my own food. I don't want you to make a big deal about it. Just let me do my thing and you carry on, do your thing. Like, just be specific.
Exactly. Don't offer me the bottle of wine. Don't try and peer pressure me, all of those things. Because actually, I think if someone said that to me, I'd be like, oh my God, how brilliant are you that you said it? How brilliant are you? Let me support you. And also, the thing I think, my little niece, she's 21, always been blessed with the most beautiful figure, never struggled with her weight. She messaged me the other day. She was like, Auntie Anna, help me. I've put on a stone in the last 8 weeks. I need to do something about it. So there's a lot of people that are really struggling that maybe hadn't struggled before. So actually, they don't want to go out and eat the Chinese banquet or the chippy. They want to go and try and just enjoy your company. So it may be that there's a lot more of that when we go out as well.
Yeah. And the other thing is, obviously, we're doing our April Steps Challenge. So the alternative thing you could say to them is, well, I'm following the Summer World Podcast Steps Challenge. So would you like to come out with me for a walk? Because, you know, average 5,000 steps a day, like that could be the way that you catch up people. And now, I mean, for me, it's been so difficult having to choose which friend I was going to go for a walk with. Oh. Like coming up soon, I'll be able to see 3 of them all at once. It'll be so much easier. I wouldn't have to like secretly say, oh yeah, I'll meet you here, and then say to the other one, I'll meet you there. Like, and hope, it's like going on 2 dates on one day, you know, where you don't want them to like accidentally cross paths.
Can I just tell you, I've closed my rings 7 days in a row. Anybody that's got a certain watch will know when you closed all your rings at midnight when you're going up and down the stairs like that.
You must have a different one to me then. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and when you close your rings, and I just got 3 awards yesterday.
So you've got to say this, right, before we wrap up. Okay, April Steps Challenge. One of the things that you did a few nights ago was you were walking what in your bedroom for how many hours or something like that? What did you do?
I like to walk in my bedroom.
Right.
So I've been averaging, now it's got a bit brighter. I've actually been walking a loop that's 5 miles. But I was averaging between 5 and 10 miles a day in my bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually really easy to
do. Can we just clarify that this was vertical, not horizontal?
Oh my gosh, totally vertical. It won't measure horizontally.
I'll just repeat what she said because it cut out, but she did actually say vertical.
I did. And now my beautiful carpet is nearly run bare and my poor husband is like, what is happening up there? I'm just walking. So I use some very hyper-Americans that do it on certain channels and march to it. When I first started, the 5 miles took me 1 hour, 17 minutes, and now I can do it in 37 minutes.
Whoa, that's very different. But what, do you know what? Having the loop outside is really great because the one thing that I think is really special about this time of year is over the next few weeks, you know, a lot of the trees are barren at the moment, but you'll see as you do that loop, like there's bluebells out in the woods nearby me. The daffodils are a bit later this year, but you start seeing like these places, these loops that you do, they transform with the seasons. And I think it's a really nice time of year to be out and enjoying that.
I think your loop is much nicer than mine. Mine's an industrial estate followed by 3 supermarkets, 14 takeaways and a laundrette. There ain't no bluebells or daffodils. I know that the end of my loop is a coffee shop, so that's my aim. That keeps me walking so I can get my coffee and then walk back with my coffee. So it's whatever gets you through it. Yours is bluebells, mine's caffeine.
My goodness, that is so different. Well, we would be really interested if you could share with us, how are you getting on your steps? Are you walking through Bluebell Woods? Are you walking past local takeaways? Or are you walking in your house? I do actually have a friend whose wife went absolutely nuts at him. So on the smartwatch that I have, you can compete against friends. And me and him did a steps challenge a few years ago where it was over the weekend and it was ludicrous how many steps. But it basically meant that whilst I had an open plan flat, so I kept walking around the flat and he was at 5 to midnight walking back and forth across his house, and his wife came down and told him to sit down, you're doing my head in. And as a result, he lost by 100 steps. It was brilliant. So anyway, we hope that, you know, if the world is opening up near you legally and responsibly, that you behave equally legally and responsibly, but you also have a good time. And yes, whether that's next week or in a few weeks' time or a few months' time, or you're isolating and you want to hold back a little bit, eventually this day is going to come. So maybe some of the things we've talked about have helped you. And share with us as well your thoughts about this process. What are you learning? What are you reflecting on as you kind of step back out into life? Email us, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram @slimmingworldpodcast, where we'd love to get your step photos as well. Take some photos and videos of you doing your step challenge. Next week, we're talking about listeners' questions, all kinds of things on this, including more talk about pants, which, you know, is always a great teaser, isn't it? Pants?
You mean knickers?
I don't really say knickers. That seems a bit posh for me.
But you see, we have this discussion. Daisy, obviously brought up in Manchester, calls them pants, trousers, pants. I'm so confused. Knickers, underwear. Is that what you mean, underwear?
Right, well, that's where we can start next week's episode. Then we'll have that one argued out. Have a great week, whatever you get up to. And as we always say, enjoy your food.